at problems, the way we look at pain, the way we look at everything changes when we have a spiritual vision. That's what we're going to talk about today. And if you want to turn over, if you have a Bible, Matthew 6, 19 to 24. This is the Sermon on the Mount. You could say the kind of the foundation, the constitution of the gospel, of the good news preached to mankind through Jesus Christ. So this is worth paying attention to. We start up here. Do not store up in Matthew 6, 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart also will be. And he continues, your eyes like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. And he continues, verse 24, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. So what he makes clear in this part of his sermon is here, there's two ways of looking at life. There's God's, the kingdom way, and that's the worldly way. The spiritual way is controlled by God. The worldly way is controlled by mammon. And mammon is not only money. It is wealth. Sorry, just going to take a little water. You feel better? Mammon was actually, by some people, seen as the deification or the god of wealth, prosperity, and money, of course. But it's not only money. And that god is what is controlling most of our world today, isn't it? If we've got to be truly honest. So it's all about our heart. As he says in verse 21, where our treasure is, there our heart also will be. So the thing is, what do we really treasure in our hearts today? Determines our spiritual vision. He has a very beautiful, I would say, curious statement here in this part in verse 22 to 24. And that's what we're going to concentrate on today. He says, your eyes like a lamp that provide light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. So what he says here, our eyes are like a lamp that provide that light, right? Our eyes is also said, it's the mirror to the soul. You can see if somebody is happy, loving, full of the Spirit. Not only his eyes, but his whole body, right? It's not difficult to see. And you can also see the opposite. Somebody's downcast. The eyes don't look good, huh? You might make it try to look good, put your church face on, or your work face or whatever, but you can see it in the eyes. The other way you can see it is the eyes are where all the things come in that we perceive in the world, right? It's our perception of what we see. How do we see? How do we look at people? How do we look at the world? How do we look at each other? How do we look at opportunities? How do we look at distress? How to look at anything around us? That's our eyes. How do we see things? And there's two ways, he says, of seeing, understanding the world. If your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. Your body will be serving. Your body will be embracing. Your body will be caring. If we see the right things, if we see with spiritual vision, right? That's the clarity. That's the vision we want, the spiritual vision. Now, there's another way of looking. When our eyes are unhealthy, our whole body will be filled with darkness. Don't we know that kind of sensation? Where we look at each other, we look at everything, it just, it's darkness. It's hopeless. I had I don't know if it's a bad idea, but I got the idea that I would fast coffee last week, okay? That turned into be a situation of pure darkness for my soul for some days. It was kind of, I saw everything that happened through this filter of a lack of caffeine. And my wife actually a few times asked me, Mads, when do you get back to drinking coffee again? Because I got to be a little bit unbearable. I think if I'm shaking a little bit, you know why. But I think I got over the worst symptoms so I can be more spiritual again. I felt more spiritual with coffee than without coffee, actually. I don't know if that works together. I didn't see anything in the Bible about that, but darkness is when mammon rules our thoughts and mind. Worldliness. We don't see God in it. We see people as nuisance, as annoyance. We get annoyed, right? They're taking up my space in the line for my purposes, my life, what I need to accomplish, right? That's what people easily become. And we get off frustrated. We get frustrated with people, right? Because they're in a way. Or we get to think of people as competitors because we're going through the same thing, the same promotion, the same thing we want to achieve. And people around us become either annoyances. Can you say that in English? No. Is that all right? Annoyances? Or frustrations, or competition. That's the worldly way of looking at people. Even in a marriage becomes like that, right? What we see in marriage is like, but she doesn't understand me. I mean, she doesn't know about my needs. She always scared on my nerves because it's about me. That's the dark view without the Spirit, right? It's concentrated on desires, prosperity, on me, what I want. Life becomes a burden. Whatever we do is frustrating. It's just about paying the next bill. Maybe going on the next vacation in a year would be happy. Working hard until that. How we look at the world is the things we want to accomplish, the things we want to buy, the things we think we need. That's the vision ruled by mammon. Now, fortunately, that's another way of looking. Which is the spiritual vision. And that is when our eye is healthy, spiritual healthy. The whole body is filled with light. And we look at people in a totally different way. What was annoyances, frustration, becomes compassion. Because we see people's need. And we look at people through the eyes of Jesus. We see where people have needs. We see where they have sorrows, where they have pain, where we can comfort. We see maybe opportunities for service. Frustrations pile up. Oh, hey, there's always opportunities for service. That's the eyes we look at through spiritual vision. Even when, you know, we can get frustrated, there's always opportunities for service. Even some opportunities for training, correcting, discipline, but it's all good, done in love. Opportunities, not frustrations, anger, and all that. That's the eyes of spiritual vision. Just an example here, you might make up your own. People, they don't become competitors. They don't become frustration. You see them for what they are. You see the needs, you see they have a need for an embrace, for a hug, for a conversation. They need God's word. We're all living in darkness. Without Jesus, everyone is living with the eyes and body full of severe darkness. That's why we need to be filled with light, our whole body, so we can reach out to these people. That's part of God's plan. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. So now we need to find out, how do we really enter into the portal of spiritual vision. Huh? How can we get there, live there? Because we so easily get ruled in our hearts and our mind by just the world, by mammon, by paying the bills, just going one day to the next, filled with worldly pursuits. And actually, Paul says here in Ephesians 1:18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. So to understand the spiritual part, to enter the spiritual world, it's like putting on goggles, you know, you got in the snow, and certainly the whole thing, it changes color. Have you tried that? Anybody tried the goggles? We change colors. You can get them in different colors, like usually that kind of like yellow, a little bit rose, and it just lightens up, and you see the totally different colors. That's the spiritual glasses we want to put on. Because then we see what we're called to. What is the purpose of our life, really? Because we have a great purpose right here. We are part of an awesome story of salvation, and we have very important roles in that story. Sometimes we don't know it. Sometimes we forget about it. But that is true. One thing it reminds me of, it's a story in the end of the Gospel of Luke in chapter 24. And the disciples, they're kind of down, depressed, discouraged. They have seen the Jesus they have followed, sacrificed for, die a horrible, painful death. And he hasn't resurrected yet. So they're full of self-pity, sorrow. It says actually, their faces were downcast. You know when somebody's face is downcast? It's a pretty depressing sight, right? But what Jesus does, he goes and talks to these people. He's kind of in disguise. I don't know how he does that, but he has some fancy way of disguising himself without people knowing who he is. So he disguises himself. This is after he's dead and he's resurrected, but they don't know it. And he talks to people. He talks to them about the prophecies, about the whole purpose, about God's story, what he's doing among them. And that is huge. That is awesome. That is planned before the world was even created, this story of salvation. Where Jesus Christ had to come and suffer and die and resurrect in order to bring the kingdom back at one point to us, in order to transform the world. And we are all a part of it. And their response was really cool. It says in verse 24:32, afterward, they were reflecting what happened. And they said, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? He opened their hearts, their mind, their vision to what the whole thing was really about through the scriptures. And that's what we need, first of all. That's our portal to the spiritual world. That's the scriptures. That's the first one of them. Sometimes we don't see it like that, right? Because we have that Bible standing there and we feel the pressure. We need to look a little bit in it and kind of do our 10 minutes for the day. And we kind of read it all before. We grew up with it and it doesn't make that much sense to us sometimes. We forget what it really is about. And sometimes we need to have, if we can't get Jesus to open our hearts and get our hearts burning for this message, we need to have other disciples help us with that, right? Woe to that brother who doesn't have a friend who can inspire you when you're downcast and get your hearts burning in faith again. Woe to that church who don't have people who can preach that message in order to light our hearts. There's a lot of gospels out there. A lot of false gospels out there. There's a lot of gospels of come and hear that you are saved by faith and forgiveness only. You come and feel good because you're reminded of, you know, Jesus did it for you. He got your ticket way back. You don't have to do a thing. Just come and hear the message, go back. You're not really needed. You're not a part of this. It's all done for you. Now we can teach you a couple of tips and tricks to make your life better, but you're not a part of the story. You can go home and relax. That's a false gospel, because that's not the gospel Jesus taught. He taught a gospel. He said, come and follow me. And you will be transformed into fishes of men. You will be transformed into the likeness of God in which you were created in the beginning, in the first place, in order to fill the whole world with light. Reach every nation, every tribe. That's what we're created for. That's the true gospel that Jesus preached. It doesn't separate conversion and discipleship. It's not like discipleship is optional. It's the same thing. Amen. It starts and ends with following Jesus. There's a lot of need for every one of us here. We are part of that story. We are hearers in that story together with Jesus. You know, I read a book about time management, and one of the statements was that after the Second World War, our life has been made so much easier in a way. We have technology. We have, you know, we don't work in the fields, and we have created so much effectiveness that the amount of surplus time we've created is unprecedented. It's amazing. But so far, he says that it seems like it's only been translating into watching TV. Or you can add surfing the internet and, you know, entertaining yourself. There's so much to be done. And we have more time than ever. Although it doesn't feel like that for most of us. We feel like we always have. But compared to previous generations, we have an amazing situation to serve. So let's talk a little bit about this. The Word of God is one of the most important portals into the spiritual vision, to the spiritual mindset, the spiritual world. Just to remind us of what that Word of God is. In Hebrews 4, it says it's a powerful weapon, one of the most powerful weapons. It penetrates even to the deepest of our thoughts and attitudes here in our hearts. That's how powerful the Word of God is, because it is the sword of the Spirit. It says that God created the whole universe with just one word. Hence we have the word universe, which in Latin means one word. It's a powerful word we have. And he sustains all things by this powerful word. Every little thing that goes, every click, clock and tick of the hour in the world goes around by the sustaining of God's word. Every sunset, every sunrise, every breath of every creature ever lived, sustained by God's word, by his creation. Okay? He says every word that goes out from the mouth of God will always accomplish what he desires, and it will always achieve the purpose for which he sent it. There's a purpose to every word. Every time you read it, there's a purpose to it. The very words that Jesus spoke will condemn us on the last day. That's a good reason for reading, just right there. That's what it says. It says that his word is real food for our soul. It is what we live by. It's nutrition for our soul, for our spirit, his word. And it has the power to set us free from all sins, all its enslavements of sins. It says that if we remain in his words, we will do even greater things than Jesus Christ himself. That's a promise right there. Jesus said that. So we are not just to go home and watch TV, right? Because Jesus did pretty much some incredible things And we can do even greater things because we can reach more people. We can go into much more nations. He was confined to one part and place. So I want to ask ourselves, let's ask ourselves, is that how we look at the word? Do we look at it as the perfect nutrition for our soul? Or is it just a quick snack out of the door? Do we look at it as really sustaining everything in our lives? More than anything else, more than any food, medicine, and drugs, and addictions, and whatever, coffee, to get us sustained through life? Is that the word of God? Do we look at it as the very power of God to accomplish incredible things when we read it and practice it? Think about that, because this is our portal to the spiritual dimension. Getting in there, studying it every day for yourself has a lot of spiritual power. When I talk to a lot of people here, I got to be really honest, a lot of people don't do Bible study for themselves every day. You might do it, and that's great for you. Then you can probably help other people. But we need to be in the habit as Christians to get in there and remind ourselves about our vision, about our purpose, about God's plan, like Jesus did with his disciples, so we can get that fire in our hearts again. It's not enough to read a quick verse on the phone on your way to work. That's a quick snack right there. It might be better than nothing, but it's not what's going to fill us up. If for some reason you haven't really studied the Bible in its full and know it's the full meaning of it for your life, I would very much recommend you to do that. Just grab somebody in the church. There are a lot of people who know about the Bible, and find out what it's all about, because it's amazing. It has amazing power. Power to change lives, power to see the spiritual reality in a whole new way. Please do that. Now we're going to talk about something else, prayers. Because prayers, if we understand it correctly, is together with the Word of God, the portal, the entrance to the portal of the spiritual world. Now, unfortunately, a lot of us, we pray in a very predictable way. Actually, most people in the world, we pray. Doesn't matter religion, Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, that's the right word, all pray. And pretty much people pray about the same thing. They pray about it will go well, success in their life and projects, prosperity and health for themselves and the ones they love, right? Everybody pray about that. That is not, however, how Jesus told people to pray. And if you're on your Bible in the same page, you will see that Jesus taught very clearly that the prayer he wanted to be to us to pray, how he wanted to teach us to pray, is a portal to the spiritual world. Let's go through it real quick, and we'll end with that. This then, Jesus say, is how you should pray. Matthew 6, 9 to 13. This is the constitution of Christianity, where Jesus laid the foundation of what we are to believe and do with our life as Christians. One of them is pray with a spiritual focus, not a material focus. I know we all say this prayer, we can say it, you know, to our kids, our grandkids. We might do it every night. But let's take just a quick look of what Jesus really meant with this prayer. First of all, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. This is about praising God. This is not hallowed be my name. God is the center of universe, of my life. I am not. Life is not about me, really. It's not about me. It's about God. I have a part of it, but it's a small part in God's plan. Because hallowed be God's name, not mine. Your kingdom come. I'm not praying for my little kingdom. I'm praying for God's kingdom. The whole purpose of my life, to bring God's kingdom here, right with us. Your kingdom come on earth that is in heaven. Well, you can't have paradise on earth, people say. We sure have to try. We sure have to pray for it every day. Your kingdom come on earth. We want justice, righteousness. We want God to rule here, in our hearts, in our families, with our neighbors, with our coworkers. God's kingdom is supposed to come here with us. And we're the agents. We're the heroes of the story with Jesus to bring that kingdom to come. Actually, Jesus says, until the kingdom is preached to all nations, every tribe, I will not come back. So let's get that kingdom preached so Jesus can come back. We can get on with this whole thing. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will, not my will. Often I pray, God, let my will be done in heaven and as on earth also. And we pray for our projects, our thoughts, our will, what we want to have done. But how often do we pray about God's will in our life? That might be quite different. What is God's will for me? We know that God's will sometimes is to suffer, to endure persecution, bad treatment because of the faith, to sacrifice our time, our hearts for other people. That is God's will. Jesus prayed that prayer himself, right? God, yet not as I will, but as you will. And be honest about what I will. I don't want to go to that cross, Jesus said. That's painful. There's nothing like I want, but I want to do it for you. We've got to be open about our own will, and then be willing to submit to God's will. So this is the spiritual vision. We need clarity about kingdom, about purpose, about God's will in our lives, not our own will. Give us today our daily bread. We need to pray for that, right? But listen to this. This is our daily bread and nothing really more, right? It doesn't even talk about butter on that bread, right? Not even Swiss cheese. Or a little cup of wine on the side. Our needs are not that big to survive. We think it is. We pray for all the rest, but we need to get perspective on our lives. God says, you know, if we have food and some clothes, we should be satisfied. That's all we have the right to, really. The butter. No, sorry, the bread, not the butter. So let's get a perspective on that. Sometimes when we have, we want more, and we want even more because our neighbor have more. And then we think we should pray for all these things that we maybe don't need. Maybe it's not God's will for us. Forgive us our sins. That's another thing that we need perspective on, who we really are in here. We're sinful people. We should get a close look at our most dark and secret part of our hearts, really. We don't want to do that. We want to go to great extents not to look at that. We want to put up a nice face, nice clothes, and nice hair to try to pretend we're not like that, but we are. We're sinners. And why do we need to look at that? Why don't we need to come to God and be totally honest of who we are? Because of his love. He wants to help us. He wants to forgive us. He wants to remind us who we are. Remind us that we need God. We need other people so we can grow and become more like Jesus and get the forgiveness of our sins that we can when we get to him and not feel bad about ourselves and do nothing. We also need to have forgiveness for our sinners. And that is actually, forgiveness is a lifestyle. That is a pretty huge thing, that we can be people of forgiveness. If we can be people of forgiveness, we can learn to love, we can learn to invest, learn to risk to love people. Because it's a risky business to love people. You invest your life, your heart, you open yourself, and you know by experience that you can get hurt when you do that. Whether it's your spouse, your family, whatever, we need to invest. And when we know forgiveness, we have the sacred medicine of relationship because we know we can risk, we can give, we can love, and still be hurt because we can forgive. That's the spiritual vision we need from God. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one is the last part of that prayer. We need to remind ourselves of the spiritual reality. What the Bible says, we're in a spiritual war. We're in warfare every day. We just don't go around with our day and nothing happens. There's a whole host of demons and agents from the dark world that wants to keep us asleep or in pain or in suffering, on lousy relationships, or in marriage that doesn't work. With his favorite tool is pride. We don't want to look at it. We don't want to get help. We need to see that we're in a spiritual warfare. We need to open our eyes to what that means, to be prepared to see that the forces of the dark world is working, and we need spiritual vision to overcome it. So I just pray that for this week, we can think of these things. Read the gospel, read through the Sermon on the Mount. Think of what we're called to, really. Think of the spiritual vision that we need in order to look at people, to look at things in our lives, things that might be difficult, things that might be circumstances that are painful. But with perspective, we can look at things differently. And we need that perspective, and we need it through really getting in and studying the Word of God. The gospel that is preached by Jesus himself, not by some theology made by people hundreds of years ago, but by Jesus himself. To find your place in that story and to pray the way Jesus really wanted you to pray. Not about yourself, but about the spiritual world, the kingdom that you are part of. I wish you very good luck with that.